The UK's rail operators this week announced that we're leaving the Europe-wide Interrail scheme. So that's the plan, which offers unlimited train travel in 31 countries on just one ticket, one fare. This isn't a Brexit consequence, they say. It's not an EU programme. Instead, they were saying that they wanted to focus on promoting the countrywide Britrail pass. However, after a backlash, they reversed course, saying the strong reaction forced them to renew talks with the little group Eurail, which covers the Interrail pass across the continent. However, this is a very small market, 300,000 people a year using Interrail, and yet the backlash so big. Why do feelings run so high for a travel option most of us will never actually use? Well, joining me now is travel journalist and broadcaster Simon Calder. Simon, good to have you on the program. Why is this such an emotive topic, first of all?
Oh, Nick, I think it's just because we all secretly dream of impulsively stepping aboard some exotic European Express at dusk and waking up to find ourselves in one of those really beautifully named stations, Barcelona Estación de Francia, Hamburg Altona, or my favourite, Reggio di Calabria Centrale, where I happened to be a couple of days ago, and it's a bit of a disappointment, but there we are. And we want to know that it exists. We want to know that we have that opportunity, and actually for British people that never changed. What the rail delivery group representing train operators wanted to do, as you mentioned, was to stop people from outside Europe taking advantage of the Eurail pass to get travel within the UK on a budget, because we wanted, or they wanted, to sell them the Britrail pass, which would mean they get far more cash. Eurail in Brussels said you can't, well, to use that popular phrase, have your cake and eat it. So either you do both or you do neither. Rail delivery group chose neither, at which point, yes, many of us, including me, I've never taken Interrail, said this is an outrage, you have to think again. And miraculously, in less than 24 hours, there was a complete U-turn, and everybody was on board. Interesting that actually before that happened, one of the operators, LNER, the prestige line, really, flagship route on the East Coast main line from London, King's Cross to Yorkshire to the northeast to Scotland, said, we're going to do this anyway. We'll recognise Eurail and Interrail, and kind of broke with the ranks. And very shortly after that, rail delivery group said, okay, yeah, clearly there's a lot of interest. And I'll tell you what, from a business perspective, is this, do you think, the same as with Heinz salad cream? You announce it's going to stop and then suddenly everybody remembers that they like it.
Well, are you predicting then that a horde of not only British travellers but European travellers, and you know, and further beyond as well, will be travelling on these tickets now rather than Britrail? Because that's also now in the public eye in a way that it wasn't before.
Yeah, I mean, Britrail is kind of, you know, an interesting product for people from the US, from Australia, New Zealand, coming to the UK, who want to travel by train. Obviously, if you're looking at Britain and you want to travel widely, then the Britrail pass is good. But it's many people who come to Europe from outside the continent want to explore widely, and so Eurail is absolutely ideal for them. And to say, oh, by the way, not only will you need, and this is the case, for example, for people from China and many other countries, not only will you need a separate visa for the UK, you'll need a separate rail pass. I think a lot of people would say, well, thanks very much, I won't bother. And the idea of having this great pan-European ticket is very, I think, significant, although it has to be said, lots of people have got hold of the wrong end of the stick. We, as British people, would still be able to buy Interrail tickets anyway. We just wouldn't be able to use them in the UK. So if you happen to live in Inverness and you wanted to travel to Europe, you'd have to find, first of all, a way of getting to London and then use your Interrail from there.
Sure, but although, I mean, it has to say, the rail delivery group, when I spoke to them, did say that even at the point before getting rid of this pass, they were still negotiating to try and see if they could get people a sort of home ticket down to London's St Pancras to get on the Eurostar across to Europe. But just before I let you go, you you mentioned, of course, that there are now obviously other ways of getting round Europe that weren't there in the past when the Interrail Pass began. I mean, do you think that actually this is something that is more about romance than reality?
Well, recently it most certainly has become that. If you go back to the early 70s, when my big sister took rail, I never did. I could not quite raise the capital investment required, so I hitchhiked instead. It was the only way, apart from hitchhiking, where you could get to Athens for a reasonable price. Now, of course, you want to get to Athens, you're not going to spend £300 in a week on various trains trying to get there. You're going to get a cheap flight, and not only has the low-cost airlines transformed European geography, but also increasingly many trains require extra payments or booking in advance. And so the idea of just acting on an impulse, being Milano Centrale and kind of picking a train at random, that doesn't work. So yeah, the dream is much more exotic than the reality, but if it gets people talking, and of course, you know, rail travel is now very much the 21st century ideal in terms of reducing your carbon footprint, and I think this will probably have done some good in getting us all thinking about the trains. It certainly stirred things up, but I must say, from a kind of business perspective, it wasn't a great look.
Simon, we're beginning to lose your signal, so you are broadcasting from a boat just off the coast of Barcelona, I should say. One last thing just before I let you go, and the pound is weak currently. Air passengers particularly facing misery this summer with strikes, tech problems we saw for British Airways this week. I mean, do you have predictions or perhaps advice about how the summer is going to look for British passengers and tourists?
Well, for anybody wanting to buy anything from a cup of coffee to car rental, Europe is challengingly expensive these days. Yes, we've got the prospect of Ryanair strikes coming up for 5 days in late August and early September. But actually, most of us will get where we need to be. Most of us will have a great time. It's just the... Well, for instance, 25,000 people stranded by a BA IT failure on Wednesday that I feel sorry for. Many of them still haven't reached their destination. So it is generally the best of all possible times to be a traveller. But for some unfortunate people, well, it's just miserable.